It is the great and deep expression of love for God to send Jesus Christ to save sinners. God's justice and mercy meet at the cross. When we say the cross, we really mean the work of Christ to extend mercy to the sinner and at the same time satisfy God's justice. As the Belgic Confession begins, God is perfectly merciful and also very just. And he shows that in Jesus Christ and the cross. Exodus 34, and this is all throughout Scripture, isn't it? The justice of God. Exodus 34 says, when God reveals himself to Moses, he's begging to see God's glory. And when God does that, he hides him in the cleft of the rock and he shows him his backside, as it were, a glimpse of him, the Shekinah glory. But it says this, this is where you see that the glory has a content. And Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. God is merciful, but God will not leave the guilty unpunished. He is just, but he must, and therefore, because he is just, he must punish sin. And there'll be no exceptions. God must punish sin. There's no exceptions to that. The modern notion of mercy, grace, forgiveness as ignoring or overlooking sin, that is very false. God never overlooks sin in the sense that he would leave it unpunished. He never leaves it unpunished. For him to be just, it must be punished. Justice must be satisfied. That is the very nature of God, to do justice. Shall not the God of all the earth do justly? Genesis 18:25, right? Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Proverbs 16:11, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. God is just. And because he's just, he must punish sin. And this is the very significance of the incarnation, God becoming man. God sent Jesus, and Jesus assumed human nature. This is where the Belgic Confession is going here. We believe that God, who is perfectly merciful and also very just, sent his Son to assume the nature, in the meaning of the human nature there. He assumed the nature in which the disobedience had been committed. And that was to satisfy his justice. And that was to satisfy his mercy, that he became man. The terminology assume means that the second person of the Trinity added to his divine nature the human nature. He wasn't trading natures. He did not lose any of his divine nature. He assumed the human nature. And that is without sin. Sin is not it's not necessary to the human nature. Sin was part of the fall. Jesus assumed human nature. And for God to be merciful and to deal mercifully with us, we need Jesus' human nature, because we need justice to be dealt with. He had to be fully human, fully God, to take our place. He must be punished for us, because God is just and he punishes all sin. So if we have any expectation, any hope of being justified in the sight of God, Jesus has to be punished in our place. And that's what he did. He sent his son to assume the nature, it says, in which the disobedience had been committed, in order to bear in it the punishment of sin by his most bitter passion and death. Now, we as sinful, fallen men cannot ever do that in ourselves. We cannot satisfy God's justice. We are already sinners, condemned. We can't just turn over the new leaf, right? Our nature is bound, our nature is enslaved, our nature is dead. Before we're converted to Christ, we don't even know the depth of our depravity. Before we're converted to Christ, we don't care. You wonder why so many people are not alarmed by their sin. They don't know to be alarmed. They're dead. That's something the Spirit reveals to you. We don't know our depravity. We don't care. We aren't seeking Jesus Christ unless God reveals to us our need and unless He reveals to us Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Romans 8:7-8. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, it's not I'm sure I've used this analogy before, but let me just use it again. It's not, maybe there's somebody new that'll appreciate it. It's not the picture of man's condition is not that he is drowning in the ocean and that we throw him from the ship, the life preserver, and he grabs on. That's not the picture in the Bible. The picture is that he's in the bottom of the ocean, dead, skeletal. The fish and the sharks and whatever have eaten all the stuff off his body, the flesh and the bones, and he's just skeletal. Maybe a better picture would be from Ezekiel 36 and 37 of the Valley of Dry Bones, right? Ezekiel is shown the Valley of Dry Bones. They're just a desert with bones, and they're scattered. And he says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live again? Can these men live again?" Well, they're certainly not going to come together on their own and grow tissue and blood, and they're dead. They're dry bones in a dry desert. And then they start to rattle and they start to come together and the bones and the flesh come on. It's the Spirit of God. He says, "I'll pour out my Spirit and they'll live again." It's a very picture of our salvation. But men don't do that. God does that. So no man can pay for his own sin. He doesn't even know. He's dead. And no man and no other man can pay for your sin. No other man can pay for his sin. They have the same problem. No other sinful man, I should say, can pay for your sin. Psalm 97 says, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is costly." I guess so. Very. Infinitely. Only the God-man. Only the sinless man, Jesus Christ. No animal can pay for your soul. Ox, goat, bull, or spotless lamb. And their blood cannot pay the penalty. Hebrews, even though in the Old Testament you had the sacrificial system, that was always showing you that you needed a substitute. But not, it was not showing you that you that they that a lamb could take away your sins. Hebrews 10:4 says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." They're not men. And they're not sinless men. They were never intended to save. They were intended to foreshadow Christ's once for all sacrifice. Only the perfect, sinless God, man, real man, with a real nature like ours, without sin, again, without sin. Only the God-man can satisfy God's justice and take your punishment. That's substitutionary atonement. Jesus Christ, the sinless man, takes the place of the sinner. Jesus takes the punishment you deserve. God's justice is poured out upon him. So that's what it says here in the confession. So God made known his justice toward his son. God made known his justice toward his son, who was charged with our sin. That is, God poured his just wrath upon his son, Jesus Christ. A just God must be just. He must not overlook sin. He cannot overlook sin. He can only forgive sin if sin is dealt with. And therefore, to remain just and to be merciful and to forgive and to save his people, Jesus was charged with our sin. That's the legal terms, right? That's the judicial declaration. You're the sinner. You're the sinner. I'm the sinner. He's charged with our sin. See? And this brings us to his mercy. This is how God can be merciful to us. And mercy, if you think of that term mercy, it brings out the idea, the very term brings out the idea of deserving judgment. Mercy has the concept, you deserve judgment. And mercy also brings out the idea that God, or if it wasn't God in this sense, if someone was merciful to you, it means not only that you deserve judgment, but that you were he was capable of judging you or destroying you. Your enemy is hanging over you and has defeated you in a battle, and he extends mercy, it means he didn't have to. And he was able to finish you off. In this case, God, we deserve punishment, and God is able to judge us, and he doesn't. But that's because Jesus was charged with our crime. Jesus took our justice so God might be merciful to us. I mean, it's like, picture this. You're in a courtroom. The judge is at the seat. He says, you're guilty. And as he says you're guilty, he brings that down. He brings the sentence down with a gavel. And in walks your friend. And one better than a friend. And he takes your place. He puts his hands out. And they cuff him. And they lead him away to death. You were supposed to go. You were the guilty one. You committed the crime. But Jesus takes the charge. And he takes your place. And where do you go? You go free. The judge was able to be merciful to you without himself violating the law. If a judge, take that same scenario, if the judge just said, you know what, I know you murdered, I know you committed all kinds of these crimes, well, it's okay, just go free. Is that justice? I know that's what the youth are being taught today. That's not justice. God must be just, and he remains just by punishing Jesus in our place. He didn't ignore sin. He can never ignore sin. I mean, you're reading Psalm 59 with me. Just see how grievous sin is to God. He punished sin on Jesus Christ so that he would be able to be merciful to us. Romans 3:25 says, God set forth Jesus as a propitiation by his blood. That means a wrath-satisfying sacrifice. Propitiation. God set forth Jesus as a wrath-satisfying sacrifice. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hebrews 2:17, therefore, in all things, He, that is Jesus again, had to be made like his brethren that he might be merciful. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, notice that didn't happen for everyone. It happens for the sins of these people. It happens for his brethren. He had to be made like his brethren. It happens for those who are, we could say it happens for those who are the elect. It happens for those who have been regenerated. It happens for those who have the faith of Jesus Christ. He had to be made like his brethren. He had to be a man. He assumed humanity that he might be merciful. He offered the sacrifice. That's the propitiation of himself as a man, bearing our judgment, that he might be merciful. So he remains just, and he is able to be merciful. It's a full trade. It's the great exchange. He's condemned, and we are free. He is declared guilty. We're declared not guilty. He receives our death. We receive his life. He receives our condemnation. We receive his righteousness. And so the confession says in really beautiful terminology and shocking in a way, right? He poured out his goodness and mercy on us who are guilty and worthy of damnation. He's able to be merciful to us because Jesus took God's wrath and justice. And boy, doesn't this show God's love? Doesn't this show God's love toward us? We say, you know, we say out there, we say God is just. And we say God must deal with sin. And people balk, right? And they assume that is cruel. Or what was it in the video with Troll? That is primitive. Right? That is primitive and what, obscene. And they assume that our God is like that, that he's evil. No, he is just. But he is merciful. And he is love. It is love. It is love that he deals with Christ the way he does for us. The most amazing love. Well, it's the most amazing demonstration of love, isn't it? There is no greater demonstration of love in all of mankind, in all the history of the world, than the cross. And you could never know it if you didn't know sin and justice and misery and its consequences. You couldn't know it if you didn't know what Jesus Christ had to endure. You would never know his mercy if you didn't know. You'd never know his mercy and love if you didn't know that no man could help. You'd never know the kind of love he had if you didn't know that you couldn't help yourself. But that he came. He himself, God himself, saw that there was no man. There was no one that could save. So he came. He himself did it. That's marvelous love. You know, we've heard John 3:16 so often that, you know, the familiarity breeds contempt, right? Don't let it. What a great passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The confession says, the Belgic confession says, giving to us his Son to die by a most perfect love, and raising him to life for our justification, in order that by him we might have immortality and eternal life. That's a most perfect love. His resurrection, I may add here, his resurrection proves his love and proves his salvation, proves we are justified. The resurrection proves that justice was satisfied. God has accepted that offering. It proves that Jesus rose, that Jesus rose proves that he didn't suffer and die for his own sin. It proves that he wasn't a sinful man. Jesus would not have been able to conquer death if he was a sinful man. He'd be dealing with his own sin. Resurrection of Christ proves all his claims, proves he was sinless, proves his mercy, proved he accomplished our salvation, justification, resurrection, the resurrection of our soul, maybe I should say, and the resurrection of our bodies will come, they'll follow, and immortality and eternal life. God is merciful, but he is just. And this is nowhere more evident than the cross, the death of Christ for the love of his people. If you believe in him, he fulfilled it for you. You are forgiven, and he extends his mercy because Christ took the just consequences. But if you don't believe, you will bear it yourself. Body and soul, you will bear it eternally, because God's justice must be met, either in you or in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Well, Father, we're thankful that we can be clothed and covered with Jesus Christ's righteousness. Thankful that his blood covers us. We only want to be seen by you as you look upon us through Christ. So, Father, do this great saving work in us. Continue this work until our Lord comes again. In Jesus' name, amen.